International.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Ladies first on Thursday's show. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the world champion U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. The American women trounced Argentina Wednesday night 6-0 to lift the She Believes Cup trophy in Orlando, Florida. Megan Rapinoe scored 2 goals for the USA, and Carly Lloyd, Christy Mewis, Alex Morgan, and Kristen Press also got on the score sheet. In the process, the American women ran their unbeaten streaks to 37 matches overall and 53 matches on home soil. The 35-year-old Rapinoe was named the best FIFA women's player in 2019. With her 2 goals against Argentina, she now has 57 international goals. Rapinoe says she's happy with both her performance and the team She Believes Cup winning performance.
It was good. I mean, we wanted to come out fast, as always. It's always dangerous to leave teams hanging around, so we definitely didn't do that today. Just tried to find the space, be aggressive, just try to get up there and take the chances.
In taking their chances, the USA women clinched their 4th She Believes Cup trophy and became the first back-to-back champion in the tournament's 6-year history. The Americans also became the first team to not allow a single goal at the competition. Earlier in the week-long tournament, the USA beat Brazil 2-0 and neighbor Canada 1-0. The She Believes Cup was a good warm-up event for the Americans as they aim for another gold medal at the 12-team Olympic women's football tournament in Tokyo. The USA has won 4 Olympic gold medals in women's football, with their last title at the 2012 Games in London. And let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Copper Queens of Zambia, who will be representing Africa and making their debut at the Olympic Women's Football Tournament. The Indomitable Lionesses, Cameroon's national women's team, also has a chance for Olympic qualification. The Cameroonian women will play a 2-match playoff against Chile, with the winner booking a ticket to Tokyo. Cameroon is scheduled to host Chile on April 3rd in Yaoundé, and the return leg match is set for April 8th in Santiago, Chile. Meanwhile, in men's football, Cameroon will also host the next Africa Cup of Nations tournament in January 2022. That's a year later than the initial date after the coronavirus pandemic disrupted the global football calendar. The final round of Nations Cup qualifying matches will be played at the end of March. So far, 5 teams have officially qualified. Cameroon earned an automatic berth as the host country. Defending champion Algeria has also booked a place. And the 3 other teams are Mali, Senegal, and Tunisia. In Group L of Nations Cup qualifying, Nigeria leads with 8 points from 4 matches. Benin is next with 7 points, followed by Sierra Leone with 3 points, and Lesotho with 2 points. The Super Eagles of Nigeria will wrap up their Nations Cup qualifying campaign with a road match against Benin and a home game against Lesotho. Emmanuel Amunike is Nigeria's 1994 African Footballer of the Year and the former head coach of Tanzania's national team. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Amunike, what advice do you have for Nigeria's head coach, Gernot Rohr, ahead of these last two Nations Cup qualifiers?
Well, my advice for the coach is that I think he has to go back and analyze what they have done in their previous game against Sierra Leone, and then look at the players from individual point of view to the collective point of view, and then looking at what the way he wants his team and the players to function against the game, against Benin First, before knowing the kind of player and the quality of player he wants to bring on board. The good thing is that we have a lot of players doing very well in their various clubs, but that does not give guarantee that everybody must be invited. I think he has to analyze things from a holistical point of view and then look at the players that can give him the maximum performance for him to be able to achieve the objectives that he set out for the team as a coach.
With 8 points in the group, do you see the Super Eagles winning the matches against Benin Republic and Lesotho and topping the group?
Winning the two games is possible, but at the same time also I think we have to be prudent. We have to respect the opponent. We must also know that the teams also, they are also, you know, the ambition is to be part of the next AFCON in Cameroon. So it's not all about winning the two games. The good thing is that we are in a position of qualifying. But of course, we have to, you know, play. We have to do what is needful. We have to work to achieve our objectives. We must learn from what happens to us against Sierra Leone. I think it's a very big lesson against Sierra Leone. Nobody expected that we're going to pick a draw at home and then picking a draw in a way. But the good thing is that everything that happens in football, I think you learn on it and you bring in the experience to forge ahead. I think, if we can be able to win Benin and Lesotho, I think that would be a very good thing for the team and for the continuous development and confidence of the team. But of course, the important thing is to approach each game with all honesty and seriousness, because each game is totally different. Each opponent is different. Each opponent comes with different style. Each opponent comes with different strategy to play their game. So we have to approach the game according to the way it comes.
Do you expect Benin Republic and Lesotho to be tough opponents in the last AFCON qualifying matches?
In African football, no team is an easy team. Benin is on the race of qualifying. Benin was in the last AFCON in Egypt. So most teams, they are growing. Most teams, they have the privilege that their players are playing in Europe, competing in top leagues. So I think they also know the ambitions of doing good things. For me, I believe no team is easy in Africa. The only team that can make you to claim that you are the best is by winning your game and doing what is needful for you to win your game. I think that is the right and the, you know, pragmatical way of approaching each game. So I think that is what the Eagles needed, and I hope they will be in a position to take their chances and qualify.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, the 1994 African Footballer of the Year and the former head coach of Tanzania's national team. And Emmanuel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Santander, Spain.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amunike, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I mentioned Cameroon hosting the next Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. Cameroon also staged CHAN, the African Nations Championship for home-based players, earlier this month. Morocco won its second consecutive CHAN title. And another senior international tournament was held in Qatar, the FIFA Club World Cup. Al Ahly of Egypt won the bronze medal. Samson Omale looks back on Al Ahly's third place performance.
Al Ahly of Egypt, African club champions who represented the continent at the tournament, claimed the Club World Cup's bronze medal for a second time after beating South American champions Palmeiras 3-1 penalties following a goalless draw in Qatar's Al Rayyan. Al Ahly goalkeeper El Shanawi, one of Ahly's standout performers in their treble winning campaign last season, produced two superb saves in the shootout to lead the Red Devils to a remarkable victory over their fancied opponent. Coach Pitso Mosimane was full of praises for his players for winning two of the three matches they played at the tournament.
We came here, we won two games, we lost one, and as I said, we must also know who we lost to. So it's a happy place. We'll come back at any time. The pitches are good, the organization is good. I mean, what do you ask for? This is the best place to come. We'll come back easily, and we are happy to be here. Any coach who comes to this tournament comes to win the tournament. You believe you can win, okay? Otherwise, you will get sacked if you are a coach and you don't believe. Even the players will say, what kind of a coach is this? Yes, we believe we could have won the World Cup, but let's talk about realities. Realities are... It's very difficult to win the World Cup, you know. We played a team that's very strong, Bayern, whatever. So let's be honest and let's accept what we are and where we are. We got the right results. We got the bronze medal. Yes, who remembers the bronze medal? Nobody. But at this point in time, where we are amongst the other teams, I'm happy to get the bronze because I had Bayern in the semifinals.
Bayern Munich won the Club World Cup trophy after beating Mexico's Tigres 1-0 thanks to Benjamin Pavard's winner on the hour to end Bayern their sixth trophy in less than 9 months. Back on the continent, the 2020 CHAN tournament for home-based players ended in Cameroon with Morocco defending the title they won in 2019. But the Central African country, Cameroon, will remain under scrutiny as it prepares to welcome Africa once more for the biggest football showpiece on the continent, the African Cup of Nations. How prepared is Cameroon to host Africa, judging by the staging of the just-concluded CHAN? I spoke to two Cameroonian sports journalists, Benin Bonagana, editor-in-chief for the Cameroon Radio National Television, and André Mirabeau Mahop of Canal 2 International Television, on the readiness of Cameroon to execute a successful hosting of AFCON 2022.
Will Cameroon be ready? Yes, Cameroon will be ready. You saw the state-of-the-art stadium in Japoma. That is in Douala. You saw the beautiful Bepanda Reunification Stadium, the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium in Yaoundé, and of course the stadium in Limbe. What the government in Cameroon has done is that the government in Cameroon has invested a lot in infrastructure, and it was praised by Gianni Infantino, praised by Ahmed, praised by all the other coaches. Now there are other stadiums that are still to come up. Cameroon is working on them. You have the Paul Biya Stadium, that is the Olembe Stadium, that is going to be another great jewel. You have a stadium, Kwekong, in Bafoussam, that is in the west region of Cameroon, and then you have another stadium that is up in the north of Cameroon, that's the Rumde Aja Stadium. All of these stadiums will be available before the AFCON. So Cameroon is very, very ready. Of course, those who have attended, the CAF have pointed to Cameroon some things to correct, which I think they can correct, and then everything is going to be okay.
We can trust Cameroon. Trust Cameroon because of stadium. There's a good stadium. Chapuma, Yaoundé, Douala, Bepanda. And there's another stadium they are building, Olembe. I think we can trust Cameroon for it. Now, for the organizations, there are small things they have to fix, but they can fix it. That's why CHAN was like a match test before the big match. It was good for Cameroon, good for people, good for volunteers, good for everybody, and even journalists. I think they saw how they can host a continental competition next year, it will be better for Africa. I think the AFCON will be good in Cameroon, even for public.
It's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale.
Sporty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, 5-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Ever since our ancient ancestors gazed into the night skies to look at stars and other celestial objects, humans have long wondered if we are alone in the cosmos. This is Rick Pantaleo. Seth Shostak, senior astronomer at the SETI Institute, joins me on the science edition of Press Conference USA, and we're going to talk about the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Listen Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Golf superstar Tiger Woods is confronting painful uncertainty about his future after a single car crash Tuesday near Los Angeles, California. Joining us now with an update is the AP's Ed Donahue.
L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva says they will look into whether speed was a factor, but there were no indications of drugs or alcohol.
This is what it is, an accident.
Woods shattered bones in his lower leg. Some of the fractures went through the skin. Dr. Michael Gardner at Stanford Medical says, unfortunately,
it's very, very unlikely that he returns to be a professional golfer after these injuries. It really would be difficult for any golfer. We're going to do everything we can to get the bone to heal, to avoid complications, and to get you back to function as best we can. But unfortunately, the nature of this injury is such that it is truly a life-altering injury.
Fellow golfer Rory McIlroy says for Tiger Woods, golf shouldn't be on the map right now. He's alive.
I mean, he's not Superman. You know what I mean? He's not like, you know, he's a human being at the end of the day, and, you know, he's already been through so much.
Tiger Woods was rehabbing from back surgery before the crash. I'm Ed Donahue.
Meanwhile, the PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan was one of many sports fans and officials expressing their concern for Tiger.
This is a tough moment. Moments like this hit at your heart and hit at your soul, and I think that, again, it's incumbent upon all of us to return that in the form of love and support, and that's what we're going to do. It's not an easy week to play golf when the person that you idolize, the person that's your inspiration, the person that has gotten you into this game, the person that has created a lot of opportunity for you, is hurt.
That's Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour in men's golf.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Meanwhile, another hurdler for Team USA, Grant Holloway, set a world indoor record Wednesday at the 60-meter distance in Madrid, Spain. The 23-year-old Holloway clocked 7.29 seconds, a time that's pending ratification by World Athletics. Now, the previous world record was 7.30 seconds, set by Britain's Colin Jackson in 1994. Jackson says he's been keeping a close eye on Holloway's performances, and he was pleased to see his long-standing record finally broken. Jackson says, and I quote, "As a fan of athletics, it was great to see Grant break the indoor world record. He's been so close on a few occasions, so it was only going to be a matter of time. I'm always excited to see history being made." Congratulations, Grant. And Colin Jackson closed by saying, "Keep improving." For his part, Grant Holloway had this to say, and I quote, "Hurdlers are sprinters with attitudes. Our event is sexier than just a regular fast sprint because we have barriers in our way." Grant Holloway has broken an indoor barrier, and as the reigning world champion outdoors in the 110-meter hurdles, he looks to be in peak form ahead of this year's Tokyo Olympics. And speaking of the Olympics, Ethiopia's two-time Olympic champion in the women's 10,000 meters, Dorartu Tulu, has been elected president of the Ethiopian Athletics Association. The 48-year-old Tulu had been interim president since 2018. She won Olympic gold medals at the 1992 Barcelona Games and the 2000 Sydney Games, as well as a bronze medal at 10,000 meters at the 2004 Athens Olympics. In Barcelona 29 years ago, Dorartu became the first Ethiopian woman and the first Black African woman to win an Olympic gold medal. And that gold in Spain is credited with helping launch her career. Elsewhere, another two-time Olympic champion, American Clarissa Shields, is hoping to make history in her upcoming fight next week, while also raising the profile of women's boxing. VOA's Gwen Uten has her story. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. World light middleweight champion Clarissa Shields is aiming to make history as the first undisputed world champion in two weight divisions. But Shields is also in an ongoing battle outside the ring in the fight for equality in the sport. And she tells Reuters TV female boxers face a number of challenges, from equal pay to equal time in the ring.
I think the biggest thing of the women's boxing is people say, you know, women shouldn't get paid the same because we don't fight the same amount of time. But I wish people will realize that we didn't put those rules in place. The men did. So the men need to change those rules to where every world champion boxer, four women can fight 3 minutes, 12 rounds, and to where it becomes a mandatory thing, because Then they'll know that we are fighting the same time. We are putting in the same amount of work.
Currently, women's world title fights are conducted over 10 two-minute rounds. And Shields says keeping fights shorter strengthens the argument that women should be paid less and dampens a female boxer's competitive edge.
There's no reason for us to be fighting 2 minutes. It's just not. It just affects women's boxing as a whole. You know, we don't have as many knockouts as the men because we don't have enough time to get the knockouts. And people judge our records off of that by saying, oh, you know, she's 10-0, she's two knockouts, but she's the greatest woman of all time. And it's like, well, hell, I'm fighting against very, very tough competition. Girls who are undefeated, girls who have knocked out 10 other girls, right? And I'm not supposed to be able to come in there and just knock them out. It's great competition. But they say, oh, but it would be easier to get the knockouts if we just had more time. Like, we don't have enough time to pick our opponent apart for them to get tired. Like, you beat up a girl for two minutes, and she gets a minute to rest, and she's back.
Shields has gone round for round since she first entered the ring at age 11. Now 25, the Flint, Michigan native is the first American, male or female, to win back-to-back Olympic gold medals. She turned pro in 2016 and has an unblemished record of 10 wins, 2 via knockout. She holds a super middleweight title and has unified all 4 major belts in the middleweight division, and with 2 belts as a light middleweight, Shields will attempt to clinch 2 more when she faces Canada's undisputed IBF and WBA champion, Mariev Dekaer. And Shields says after the bout, she is ready to fight in rounds that last as long as the men's.
After this fight with me and Marie-Eve Dekaer, I will be fighting 3 men rounds because I feel like that's a big jump, 20 minutes, 36 minutes, right, for a lot of other female fighters. But I feel like if we win the fight now and all the world champions start fighting 3 10-minute rounds, I feel like the women that's coming up, you know, once I'm done boxing, all they will have to do is say, we just want to fight 2 more rounds, and then it'll be equal.
The World Boxing Council told Reuters News that women's matches are shorter based on statistics that show female boxers are likely to suffer more concussions than men. But Shields argues protection should happen inside the ring, not from the sport's governing bodies.
I'm not asking to be protected. I'm asking to be respected. And you know it. We all know what we're signing up for, so no need to try to protect the women if you're not going to protect the men. You know, like, protect the men from, you know, 12 3-minute rounds to them, because they're getting knocked out, they're getting hurt, they're actually dying. You know, some guys are dying in a boxing ring. But we all signed up for that, you know, so no need to make the women feel little because you guys are trying to put extra protection on us. It's like, this is what we signed up for, and no disrespect to anybody who believe in those rules, but we didn't ask to be protected. We ask to be respected, and we should be protected inside the ring. So if a ref see is taking too much of a beating, or, you know, they need to be the ones to protect us. The governing body is there to respect us and give us chance at titles.
Shields will have her chance at another title against Mariev Dekaer on March 5th. It will be Shields' first fight in front of her hometown crowd in Flint, Michigan since turning pro. And this summer, Shields is set to make her professional debut in mixed martial arts, a sport where the pay between men and women is more evenly balanced. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America. Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Herb Elliott, Australia's 1960 Olympic champion at 1500 meters, who has been described as arguably the greatest middle distance runner of his era. Herb Elliott is celebrating his 83rd birthday on this Thursday. At those Rome Olympics 61 years ago, Elliott won the gold medal and bettered his own world record at the time, clocking 3 minutes and 35.6 seconds. After his running career, Herb Elliott became chairman of one of the largest iron ore mining companies in the world. Happy 83rd birthday to a man who also struck Olympic gold, the Aussie, Herb Elliott. And that wraps up the February 25th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.